Hi, this is Pastor Howie Maxson of Fowler Baptist Church, and I am your pastor of the day. John chapter 1, verse 14 says, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." This first portion of John's Gospel is John's perspective on the coming of Christ into the world, which we have just celebrated during the Advent and Christmas season this year. There's a song sung commonly this time of year, and the first line of the song goes, "What child is this who laid to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping?" Well, John chapter 1, verses 1 through 14 answers that question. This is the Word, the full expression of God in fully human form and function. This is the Word who is not only with God in the beginning, but is fully God, the same yesterday, today, and forever. This is the creator of all things that have been made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. That includes mankind, Adam and Eve, the patriarchs, King David and all the prophets, and even Mary, through whose womb the Word became flesh. This child made all things. The tree that became the cross upon which he died for our sins. The iron ore that became the nails that fixed him to the cross. And the rock in which his grave was hewn. Left now behind an empty tomb. This child is life, and that life which is the light of all mankind. This child is the light that shines in the darkness and is not overcome by the darkness. Not even the darkness of death and the tomb could keep him from resurrection. This child is the true light which came into the world that was made by him which did not recognize him. This is the one who came to his own, who did not receive him. Yet this is the one who gives the right to become children of God to everyone who does believe in his name. They who believe in his name, not born of natural descent, as he was not born of natural descent, not born of human decision, as he was not born of human decision, or even a husband's will. But they who believe in the name of this child are born of God. As Jesus Christ is the Son of God. What child is this? This is the Word made flesh, Emmanuel, God dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father through the Virgin's womb, full of grace and truth. This is Christ, the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing, "Haste, haste to bring him laud, the babe, the Son of Mary." As John was sent from God as a witness to testify concerning the light of all mankind, so we are called to bear witness to that light, so that through us all might believe. The world that Christ made still does not recognize him. The Jews still do not receive him, but Jesus remains the light and the darkness has not overcome him. To all who do receive him, to those who believe in his name, Jesus gives the right to become children of God. He remains full of grace and truth. Good Christian, fear. For sinners here, the silent word is leading. The King of Kings salvation brings. Let loving hearts enthrone him. This has been Pastor Howie Maxson of Fowler Baptist Church, your pastor of the day.
Hello, I'm Dana Goodnow from Pittsford Community Church, your pastor for the day. The Christian life is a life of faith. We have to trust someone outside ourselves for our eternal destiny. We have to depend on God. Faith is a basic Christian concept, yet so difficult for some to acknowledge. Nevertheless, we display faith in others every day. When we get in our cars, we expect oncoming traffic to stay on its own side of the road. We're actually trusting our lives to people we've never met. Even though we've never visually seen God, we can trust him far more than we can trust most drivers on the highways. Faith is trusting in someone else, often trusting others with the most important aspects of our lives, safety, health, life itself. Faith in God means that we look outside ourselves and trust him with life and eternity. Let me point out four facts about faith as revealed in the New Testament. First, it's impossible to please God without faith. Hebrews 11:6 states, "Without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him." It only makes sense that disbelief in God displeases God. No one likes to be ignored, let alone written off as irrelevant or even non-existent. Our faith journey begins by acknowledging God's very existence and moves quickly to the reality that He is in charge of our eternal destiny. Second, faith is a reasonable response to the evidence for God. Sometimes people conceive of faith as believing in that which is irrational. Something that doesn't make sense forces us to take it by faith. But the Bible teaches us that faith is founded on facts. Hebrews 11:1 says, "Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and the assurance about what we do not see." In other words, faith is a rational response to reality. Although we cannot see God, we conclude that He exists because we see His power and order in creation and because we sense inside us a longing for that which is eternal. Third, faith alone can bring us into a right relationship with God. Of course, the real value of faith rests in the object of our faith. We may trust the ice on a frozen lake to hold us up, but if that ice is too thin, our faith is unfounded. As Christians, the object of our faith is trustworthy. We trust in Jesus Christ. Consequently, we now have a right relationship with God through faith in His Son. In Romans 5:1, we read, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Finally, faith is simple, wholehearted belief. Thankfully, anyone can respond to God in faith. Jesus, in Matthew 18:3, said, "I tell you the truth, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." Little children exhibit faith in their parents, trusting them to be honest and caring. With childlike faith, we can trust our Father in heaven to make our lives count for eternity. Have you put your faith in Jesus Christ? Are you trusting Him? This is Dana Goodnow from Pittsford Community Church, your pastor for the day.
This is Pastor Jonathan Evans of Elam Grace Church in Oswego, New York, your radio pastor for the day. Before engaging in the spiritual fight, there are a few necessities the soldier must take to heart. First, his rest. Getting proper rest entails having a truthful view of reality. We must see life from God's perspective. Yet we must also see God from God's perspective. However, if we fail to see and know God as He is, our rest will be inhibited, especially in this. The thing that most prevents our rest is worry. When we are worried, we tend to focus on the things we are worried about, not the worry itself. But it is in thinking on the worry that we can get down to the roots of it. Why really am I worried? Jesus wants to give you rest from your worry, not always the things you are worried about. He wants you to rest in Him. Second, His nourishment. Practically, the basics of our spiritual nourishment are God's Word and our prayers. God's Word is God's way of making Himself known to us. Our prayers are our way of making ourselves known to God. However, taking this basic nourishment requires a time and a place. It means taking time to be alone with God. But how can we be alone with God if we are not alone with God? Our distractions not only keep us company, but can become our captors. We come to trust and develop affection towards our captors, in particular, our technology. More often than we think, we habitually welcome our technological distractions into our minds and hearts. We want them there. It's not that Jesus says, "Don't bring your iPhone to prayer," but "Bring yourself to prayer." Third, His company. Paul says in Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13, "Work out your own salvation." He says, "Work out," not "work at." He means for us to continue in and carry out our obedience to Christ. Your own salvation means a part of others, not apart from others. We are individually saved and brought into a body. We become part of a company, a community. Why? Because we grow most and grow best in the company of others. Fourth, His surrender. Paul continues by saying that our salvation and obedience must be worked out with fear and trembling. Our obedience must be the kind of obedience that is defenseless, not self-assured before God, not boastful but weak and needy. Why? It is God who is at work in you. How? Jesus Christ came in obedience of fear and trembling. He made Himself defenseless, never once defending Himself against His captors. He was exposed, never once hiding from His attackers. He was weak, never once resisting being nailed to the cross. He didn't blame His Father, but said, "Not my will, but yours be done." Jesus surrendered Himself in your place. This is the great paradox. Our victory is found in Christ's surrender. The soldier's greatest need is for surrender. our surrender to Christ. I'm Pastor Jonathan Evans of Elam Grace Church. You can reach us on the web at elamgrace.org.
Hi, I'm Bruce Aubrey, pastor of Northside Church in Liverpool, your pastor for the day. It's a new year, and new year means a new start, new days, new months, new weeks. We've got a journey ahead of us. So how do we approach that year? My mind has been going to the early verses in Matthew chapter 5. It's the opening words Jesus spoke in the greatest sermon ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount. When Jesus spoke, people said things like this: never a man spoke like this man. It was even said of him, he spoke as one who had authority. I want you to think with me for just a few moments on this thought, moving from broken to blessed. The Bible says, he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Now, this is not about some kind of just opportunity to modify our behavior. This is about realizing when you're transformed from the inside out, there are things born in you that long to mature and become all that God desires. And that's what we're talking about. We're all born broken because of sin, but we can all be blessed because of Jesus. The Bible says, blessed are the poor in spirit. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. When you realize you're spiritually bankrupt and cannot save yourself, and you throw yourself upon the Lord and trust in Jesus alone for salvation, you go from being the poorest person on earth to being the richest person on earth because you have him. Blessed are those who mourn, for they'll be comforted. I don't like to mourn, but I've learned in my times of mourning that his comfort is beyond words. Blessed are the meek. That doesn't mean you're weak. It means strength brought under control. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for God's right ways, for they'll be satisfied. Satisfaction comes from understanding how much God loves you and how his plan is the perfect plan for your life. Blessed are the merciful. They'll receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart. They'll see God. Peacemakers. Those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, from broken to blessed. It's not the do attitudes, it's the be attitudes. It's not in what you do, it's in who you are. In Christ, you can be a brand new creation. And as that new creation, you can build your life on principles that will allow you to really understand the blessing of God, from broken to blessed. Think about it. I'm Bruce Aubrey, pastor of Northside Church in Liverpool, wishing you a happy new year.